Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But like, man, that's not an impressive conference.
I also think, I know it's like not, in the same way that I really don't think Arch can win the Heisman, I'm at the point where I don't think Boise can get to the playoff.
Well, they have to play Notre Dame, and I know Notre Dame just lost, but like last year Boise went 12-1 and lost to Oregon by 3.
It was like a field goal late or maybe a touchdown. It was a one-score game at the end where Oregon scored to win.
And then they have to go to Notre Dame still. And, like, that team just doesn't – like, once again, I think the conference is way down. But, like, you're telling me they're going to go to Air Force in a couple weeks and win that game easily? I don't think they will.
Well, I mean, I know UNLV's defense, everyone's got their concerns about that. UNLV's offense was still scoring. And
we'll find out more about UNLV this weekend. They play UCLA at home. That's going to be an interesting one.
And if Maddox Mattson gets into a shootout, boy. Yeah. All right, we basically talked about what we got right, what we got wrong. All right, most college football moment of the week. So George knows about this. This is one that I don't know that the masses know about. A bizarre pregame incident involving Ole Miss defensive end Deshaun Womack and Georgia State defensive back Tyler Scott helped galvanize Womack and the Rebels in their dominating win. The number 15 Rebels beat the Panthers 63-7 on Saturday night. And speaking in a media call, Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin said that Scott started a fight with Womack by ripping a chain off Womack's neck when they were on the field warming up. Quote, "It was wild. I thought our guys handled it really well, probably better than I would have ever handled it in that situation. That was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. I didn't even know who the guy was at the time." So to set the scene, what actually happened is a Georgia State defensive back went over to the guy on Ole Miss's team that probably is the scariest looking of all guys and ripped his chain off. The young man was not able to play the football game. At one point, either security or like law enforcement was stepping in. Like, it was banana land. Ripping the chain in pregame warmups.
Yeah, I don't think I would take it upon myself to rip the chain off a guy who's 6'5", 260, especially as a DB.
I would have also selected at this point, like, the sad part about being, like, a college football fan, North Carolina, like, got their taste of it, where it's like, you're all fired up. You get the first drive, the plays that they've been practicing all summer. They all work. You go down, you get a stop, and you're thinking, all right, man, it's on. And then you give up a 41-0 run. That's kind of tough.
So my moment. So my honorable mention will be Tarleton State.
Yep.
Going to Army and winning. Super cool moment for that program. But it's honorable mention because the team they played the weekend prior was Portland State.
Mm-hmm.
And Tarleton State beat them 42-0. And then the Vikings went on a quest to Provo to take on BYU and get their check, and they lost 69-0.
Nice.
So they've been outscored 111-0 the first 2 weeks of the season, Portland State has. But their coach, Bruce Barnum, post-game, did you see what he said regarding Bear Bachmeier?
No, I did not.
He goes, quote, "I was hoping that his height wasn't listed right, or his weight wasn't right. Then I looked at his ass and then his legs, and he looked like a GD centaur."
That's good stuff. That was this week in cashing checks for FCS FCS schools. All right, our dumpster fire of the week. I know you could put UNC here. Honestly,
no.
I could put MTSU in.
Losing to the governess. Boy. The governess got it done.
I'm still going with it. I'm saying Virginia Tech. Like I that is just a problem. Like it's this great fan base. It's they want to win. I don't think they know how to do it in this era. But Brent Pry, just like every time they cut to him on the sideline, you're just like, man, that guy's just thinking about something stupid. It's a problem.
So honorable mention, dumpster fire, and this hurts me because he's my guy. Timmy Chang playing as quarterback as late as he did.
Believe he did that.
He got hurt. He's in a boot now, and you just hope this doesn't derail the season for Hawaii. They were going to get smashed. That was something that I think we talked about on this show on last Tuesday when I got back from the islands. I'm like, this team's going to get destroyed by Arizona. He shouldn't have played. He did. He got hurt again, and now they could be going with a backup on Saturday against Sam Houston. But the dumpster fire has to be the tweets after UNC scored the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Just all time. Like, all time. Colin Cowherd, wasn't really sure what to expect from Chapel Bill, but after that drive, I have him as second best college coach I've ever seen, just below Saban. Wow, Belichick has a national championship, all caps, offense, heels just shredded Frogs defense. The one and only Skip Bayless. I don't know who Boris Sports is, but if Matt Patricia has Arch Manning in hell, what do you think Bill Belichick will do to the poor kid at TCU?
Well, he did have one pass get intercepted off. Was he high with it? I'm trying to remember. Hoover. I mean, at one point.
That is the drawback on Hoover. He does put some balls into.
Yeah. He has all the faith in his arm.
But then it did lead to TCU's Twitter feed was on fire last night. And then the Big 12, a 34-point win over the 33rd team. And they put a picture of a player from TCU whose last name's Jordan.
Yeah. that was tough. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. It is official that Memphis and Arkansas are playing an unofficial basketball game. We'll talk about that and more. Also get back into the world of college football during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. The St. Jude Tip-Off Classic. Yeah, this from Parthi Padhyay over at the Daily Memphian. The Memphis Tigers are collaborating with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital for a pair of charity games for the second straight year. Memphis's men's basketball team will host Arkansas, and Memphis's women's basketball team will host Vanderbilt in the 2025 Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic, a preseason charity exhibition doubleheader on Monday, October the 27th at FedEx Forum, in which all proceeds will benefit St. Jude, the nonprofit organization. It was announced today. The Tigers game, the Tigers women's game against the Commodores will tip off at 5:30, while the men's game against the Razorbacks is scheduled to tip off at 8 p.m. Both games will be broadcasted on ESPNU. Of course, this means that the game will bring back Arkansas head coach John Calipari to FedEx Forum. He has been back to coach in the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8, but this will be a recognition game. And so, Tim, I was kind of thinking about this because obviously I think the first reaction is, man, I wish this were a regular season game. But I think I'm kind of looking at it in these terms. I think the exhibitions are going to be kind of what, Like, we saw Tennessee and Duke agreed to an exhibition game. Tennessee, I think, has already sold it out at Thompson Bowling Arena, which is one of the biggest arenas in all the country. I think now that everybody's going to have to do basically these NIL events for the tournaments, you know, the multi-team events that we're starting to see, it's like, it feels like the type of events that you're going to be able to get in the names that you want to see. It's like you're going to kind of have to do it as an exhibition and use it as a fundraiser for St. Jude.
And there's really, I mean, there's no risk, right? You lose it.
Exactly.
Whatever. Can someone, and you might know the answer to this, can someone explain to me how we've gone from these secret scrimmages that we all knew that happened?
Oh, there was nothing better than having somebody on the staff go, "Hey, you want the secret scrimmage box score?" It's yes, I do. I will put that on a message board.
And then, like, you know, week into the season, well, you know, Villanova beat UNC.
There was nothing better than the broadcasters that were like, clearly that all they did was ask the coaches, "Hey, how'd that scrimmage go?" And like, that's 90% of their material in the broadcast.
But I mean, look. I imagine this is going to sell out. It's going to be on television. I mean, we've got a scrimmage that's going to be on television now. And, like, I do wonder, to your point about, like, this is going to bring in a ton of money. This is going to bring in a lot of excitement. We were on the doorstep of Syracuse playing Colorado in the spring. I think we're going to get there. I feel like this is where we're heading towards, and does that open the door for Notre Dame, Michigan in the spring? I guess the only worry would be,
so I actually,
there's injuries, and there's also now coaches are so paranoid about the portal. So if, you know, Georgia plays Florida State in a scrimmage in the spring, Georgia might be like, I like that guy pretty good. Hey, buddy, you want to come on over? Come on over in the spring portal? Like, if we figure out the portal situation, I do wonder. But, look, is there any drawback to this Memphis game outside of we wish it was in December, you know?
No. I think, so if we go back to your point about spring, I actually think the big programs are more worried about, hey, man, like, that's going to be on TV. People are going to be raiding the players. I do think those schools like Colorado and Syracuse are going to try to do it because I think that's going to be a way to maybe boost up some revenue and try to play the NIL game that way. You know what I mean? Like, I think the schools that everybody wants revenue and money, but I think the bigger schools that honestly kind of yield to their coaches, I think they're going to say no, but I think there are going to be other schools that are going to say, like, we need the money aspect of this.
But I think this is, I think this is great for college basketball, man.
It's going to be a great night here because Cal's trying to make sure that, you know, he gets the 60 to 70 big name players from that era, which is obviously, you know, a very special era for college basketball fans in the city at that time.
Can I ask you this?
Yep.
As time has gone on, how do Memphians look at Cal right now?
So I think it helped that it kind of fizzled at Kentucky. There's still going to be a certain segment of the fan base that's always going to be F that guy. You know, he basically delayed NCAA sanctions so he could get the Kentucky job, and we were left to pick up the pieces, and then you get the proverbial, well, it's not that he left, it's how he left, and then saying, you know, I didn't want to sit at the kids' table anymore. So there's always going to be a certain segment that feels a particular way. I do think, though, time has helped in this capacity that everyone wants to go back and remember those guys, remember those players, and that is a fun era. But, I mean, there's still just always going to be a certain segment that's like, I root for him to lose every part of the game, like every game he plays. I do think it was helpful that he kind of, you know, he didn't quote-unquote get fired at Kentucky, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was...
Lifetime contract, and he took the Arkansas job.
Right, yeah. Like, it definitely was, we're not sad to see you go, hey, why don't you look at that job situation? Kind of like with, is it fair? It's not the same thing. Josh Pastner.
No, I mean, it's very.
It's kind of what happened with Josh Pastner, right?
It's very similar to with Pastner. Like, hey, I'm getting out before they get me, and I'm going to go reset the clock.
Did I tell you I saw him at Target the other day?
Josh is a no joke, like in a sport or whatever, in a landscape filled of like frauds, Josh Pastner is like one of the most genuinely like decent human beings I've ever met.
I was at Target with my son and we were just, and I had like had a brain fart. I completely forgot he was the UNLV coach.
Yep.
And I'm like, I see him coming. I'm like, I think that's Josh Pastner. And as he got closer, we like locked eyes and I was like, what's up, coach? And I just, you know, he just gave me the nod and we, you know, kept on walking.
He had a tough break to start the season. So when the Tigers play UNLV, they're actually getting John and Josh back in the same year. One of the games counts. And
oh, that's right.
But Pastner, I think what he loses his top two leading scorers to injury for like the first 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. I think it's a good hire. I think it'll take some time. I forgot about that. I
think it's going to be like everything is like, can Josh raise enough money to build a competitive roster? Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I just have no idea. Like, and that's kind of the other thing that I was thinking about. And
did get invited to this NIL tournament, so they got kind of fortunate there.
Well, I'll put him on the list. Bill Belichick. So I was thinking about this last night. I want to be fully fair. They get the job late, they being Team Belichick, because let's be clear, he was waiting around seeing if somebody was going to sniff in the NFL. Like, he wanted the NFL job. The contract is structured as such that if the NFL came calling, that's what he wanted, because clearly he wants another crack at the record. But all of the talk of North Carolina is going to fund the program. I mean, you've got Mac. Anytime that there's a microphone, Mac can't wait to announce how much money North Carolina has in their roster, and essentially implying, like, I wish they would have given me that, to which I would also argue, Mac, your roster was better funded than your predecessors as well.
You had two wide receivers in the NFL, two NFL running backs, and an NFL quarterback, and your best accomplishment was, like, we showed up at the Orange Bowl and Texas A&M didn't want to be there.
Correct, in the COVID season.
Right.
So I know when you show up late, you are so far behind in the portal game that oftentimes what you get is not great. Tim, what I was watching on television did not look like a $14 million roster. Like, Gio Lopez is bad. That was fine. But, like, that was not... Tim, they were just absolutely getting mauled everywhere. I mean, Hoover was essentially just running that play to Dwyer where it's like, hey, man, act like you're going to run deep, break it off, run a comeback route, and we're just going to throw it 15 times. So I'm actually wondering, like, did Carolina spend all this money, or did they spend a lot of money to get Belichick and Team Belichick?
Did you see the viral video of Jordan talking to him on the sidelines?
Talking to Bill?
Yeah, during the game.
No. Though yeah. I did see... Somebody at a tailgate had a banner. I don't know. What do you call, like, when you get the you and I would have them as like banners with like our radio station and a sponsor behind them, but like they put it at their tailgate tent and it said Air Jordan.
Yeah, I did see that.
And then it was the silhouette of Bill and her doing the Pilates thing on the beach. That was an all-time moment. I mean, like, they got everybody there. I mean, ESPN was blowing it out. I mean, it really was like an infomercial for Belichick, but I just found myself...
Which, by the way, I had no issue with. I watched a good... Like, why wouldn't you do that? It's the only game on. You have Randy Moss on staff. You have Teddy Bruschi on staff. I did find it funny. They were like, McAfee, you punted against him. So, yeah, you're here. You had Saban on staff.
McAfee, you paid him $1 million a year to be on your show.
Right, yeah. I will say, though, I mentioned it at the end of last hour, all-time takes after that touchdown drive. Just like, oh, here we go, national. You thought this was going to be hard for Bill? And then 41 unanswered. Who pointed out the fact... I mean, it was simple mathematics, but that Bill Belichick was 41 when Jordan was 7.
Well, I told you this. B- Bill is old enough to be her dad's dad. Her dad's 49.
If Max Johnson starts this week, he's the same age as her. His quarterback in college.
Which, by the way,
he should start.
And like that is like a cool story because like that guy's leg got shattered.
Yeah. He looked good last night. I know it was against some backups, but still.
But the ball came out on time. Like,
dude, Gio Lopez,
Lopez wasn't that good at South Alabama.
Yeah, God bless it. You know, bless his heart. But what are we doing here?
I'll tell you what, they had the Sky Cam on ESPNU. If you think that Gio Lopez played bad from the real TV copy, when you got to see exactly what he was seeing on every play, it's like, oh my God, he is he doesn't know what he's doing. Like he was every time he was making the wrong read. And part of it's gunshot, but this is what it all comes down to me. Is Carolina really spending or are they just saying they're spending because they're trying to make themselves look good because they know they're about to be in a beauty contest because they want to switch conferences?
I mean, look, if you have the chance to get Bill Belichick and it's going to make a splash at a pro, I got to imagine at least this offseason, the NIL donations were at an all-time high for the football program.
They sold out the season tickets. All of their claims are that the money was at an all-time high.
Now, you are paying Bill Belichick a boatload of cash.
You're paying him.
My former colleague, Michael Lombardi, I believe, is making over $1 million, his general manager.
Did you see Michael's son's on staff?
Is he?
Yeah.
I did not. No.
I don't know. I just found myself going
I didn't. I'll just say this. I had no idea what to do with that game last night because there was part of me is like, dude, Josh Hoover's good. Like TCU's good. But then there was on the flip side, what if Belichick is the greatest football coach in history is trying to scheme up against a 20-year-old?
Well, because I was in the same boat. And also, my fraternity little brother now lives in Raleigh, and his wife's a Carolina grad. So I guess they are part of the people that sold out the season tickets. And he's calling me. He's like, you got to understand, this place is on fire. It is the vibes are just so high. He's like, we got to take Carolina. And so we did. And then when I saw after that first series where they got to run their scripted plays, and then they get the big stop. But then if you just started watching the fact that TCU, Hoover got to eat an entire steak dinner back there, and then they were able to run the ball. So I was able to go and get TCU -6.5 to hedge out. And that was just the classic, cool, I lost $5. I'll deal with that. You know what I mean? This was the classic, I knew very quickly in the second quarter, this is going a certain way.
Could have got TCU +4.5 after UNC scored.
I mean, honestly, the closest thing I was thinking about is if I would not have had a good weekend of gambling, I would have treated that game like I treated the TCU-Georgia game, except this time TCU was Georgia.
I know, it's pretty wild. I don't know who runs TCU's social media, but man, they deserve a freaking award.
So this was the other thing I didn't know what to do. Because I know you and I've talked about it. We enjoy we enjoy watching Big 12 football. We kind of accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
I think I need to upgrade TCU, but I can't decide. I can't decide if Carolina's that bad.
I think.
Because I think there were a lot of things about TCU that were really impressive. Number one, as you point out with Hoover, it's not just Hoover being experienced. That looked like a guy that was playing in the same system. He's had his coordinator now for multiple seasons. He was in a good vibe. They've gotten him a running back. And there's also this part. Sonny Dykes has won everywhere he's been. And, there was a flukish run to a national championship game. But he still won at a very high level.
A flukish 5-7 year, too. He's a good coach. And like they won, I think they won 9 games a year ago. They went to like a random crappy bowl game, so kind of out of sight, out of mind. They still went, 6-3 in the Big 12 last year.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like I bet on them on like on a Tuesday night in December for that bowl game.
They played in the New Mexico Bowl, and they played the Ragin' Cajuns. And there was like a thought, like, is TCU going to care? And then it was like, oh, wait, a Big 12 team is playing someone from the Sun Belt. Yeah, this is going to be bad.
And yeah, like, and they get tripped. Like, they have the – I think if they would have beaten Baylor and they lost by 3, they would have been
in – they had a chance to go.
They had the really bad loss to Houston, which crushed them in their – like, that's like one you couldn't lose to Houston last year. But I don't know. I was thinking that because I think we can safely say this. I'm removing Kansas State from the chat of the Big 12.
I just feel like you can't do that in the Big 12.
Okay, here's why. I don't think they're already down 1 to Iowa State, a team that was below them. But also, when we do this song and dance of is Utah back, Utah this year, like, again, maybe UCLA is that bad, but that looked like Utah football.
If Dan Pierre can stay healthy, baby.
Like, they have a suffocating defense. They've got a fun quarterback, and, like, that looks like Utah when it's good and cooking. Again, opponent, whatnot, Texas Tech definitely came out of the gate swinging.
Is Morton hurt again?
I don't know. This is the other thing. Does anybody know? So we're watching on Saturday. What's Cody's last name? The big TCU booster.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot.
Or not TCU, yeah. Texas Tech booster.
Campbell?
Yeah, yes. What is his position on the Sports Broadcasting Act that he wants removed? Like, he paid for a nationwide campaign. And so what I'm guessing is he wants all of college sports to be able to band together and sell their rights equally. Is that what he wants?
Florio had an article on this that I skimmed the other day. I'm trying to find it.
Because I presume his complaint...
Was it how college sports is ruining everything in the world? Because he tends to do that.
Well, I presume his argument is that the way that it is going is that college sports will be ruined because everything is just going to be SEC and Big Ten. But I don't understand how rewriting the law changes that. Like,
I'm not sure. By the way, Morton did not get seriously hurt. Hyperextended knee, just dealing with some soreness and... I think they play an FC.
Yeah, but Baron Morton getting hurt is just like, that's in the models of the year.
They might call you up to play quarterback this week. They play Kent State, so.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is, like, Morton, like, if he plays a whole season, like, that's the news to me.
Oh, of course. And that's why it was so weird with a program with more money than God that they're like, yeah, we're rolling with this dude who always gets hurt.
Because, like, I think TCU looked better. Kansas, I think, might be back to Kansas. You know what I mean? Like, not...
Is their quarterback going to stay healthy?
Fair question.
I'm not a buyer of Arizona. Maybe they're a little bit better.
No, I'm with you. That was more...
That was a horrible spot for my Bows. But, yeah, it's going to... This is why I always say the Big 12 is the best power conference because we have no idea what's
most entertaining.
Sure. I think Arizona State might lose this weekend in Stark Vegas. I think they're kind of overrated.
I kind of want it.
Night game with those damn cowbells. Well,
I didn't want it to be a night game. I wanted it to be 11 a.m.
Because be like boiling
everyone's
hot.
Like, well, they're from Phoenix. They know how. It's humidity. Don't know. It's humidity. They can deal with heat, but it's a dry heat.
How were, by the way, since I was way up in the heavens, were Notre Dame's offensive linemen sucking wind at the end of that game? That's what I was kind of told with the humidity.
I didn't know if they were sucking wind because of the humidity or if
or
it was
just
like
sucking.
Well, no, if it's just like the frantic nature. I guess I understand if you're a hater and you just wanted to see Notre Dame lose. I was not unimpressed by Notre Dame.
I think the defense got better as the game went on. I still think they'll be fine. I actually came away like the Carr touchdown pass, the first one,
yeah,
where I was like about to rip my hair out, like this dude's about to take a 30-yard sack, and then he throws a no-look pass for a touchdown. I'm like, oh, haven't seen a Notre Dame quarterback do that. Speaking of which, you know who I saw?
His mom?
Ian Book.
Ah, well, we saw his mom on the broadcast a lot.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is Mrs. Carr doing all right these days?
I don't know. I couldn't. I thought they were trying to basically tell us, like, this is Lloyd's daughter. I was like,
no,
yo, it's his daughter-in-law.
Right.
I mean, she was a respectable-looking middle-aged mother, but, like, this wasn't, like, Zach Wilson's mom.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, it was funny because, like, I've seen Brady Quinn out and about, and I know he's in the media and whatnot, and he just looks like he's chiseled out of, you know, stone. That dude can't walk, like, a foot without getting mobbed by Notre Dame fans. Ian Book, who is the winningest quarterback of all time, yeah, he got stopped for some pictures, but was just kind of chilling.
I wonder, though, he's a fairly nondescript guy. Like, that's
yeah,
the other
like,
thing.
He's 6 foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brady's like, 6 foot five and looks like he just got done seven sets of chest.
Even if you don't know who Brady Quinn is, he is like a striking individual.
Yeah. You're like, who's that
you
guy?
You know, like, it's like you don't know who Brady Quinn is, but you're like, I know that guy's somebody.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, Ian Book's just like a. If I had gone up, if you were a random stranger, and I'm like, hey, you know Notre Dame football? Yeah, I know Notre Dame football. That's the winningest football quarterback of all time, right there. You'd be like, what?
So apparently, Florio was having the same questions that I was because he said the commercial makes no mentions of how the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961 should be modernized. There's no explanation in the commercial or on the group's website as to, quote, how modernizing the SBA will magically solve a problem that is being exaggerated into a crisis. Based on an interview Campbell did recently with Amanda Kristovich of Front Office Sports, it seems as if the goal will be to extend the SBA to the NCAA, which lost the ability in 1984 to control the broadcast rights for college football games. Not long after that, far more college football games became available to consumers to watch on TV. So how would returning to the pre-1984 model be a good thing for fans? So I guess that's what he wants. It's not to be a good, like, he wants to bring everybody back to the pack to stop the Big Ten and the SEC, Notre Dame, you know, the teams that are making all their money from TV, I guess, from getting ahead.
Yeah, but all the other places would like to have a billion-dollar donor like them. Well,
I mean, are you telling me if tech would he? I guess this one.
If you're tech, what would you rather have? Television revenue or a billion-dollar oil tycoon who just says that no money is too little?
I mean, you'd rather have the booster, but the one thing though is like, hey man, like life happens to everybody.
True.
Like when you know it's one man, like it's like okay, it helped Oklahoma State get relevant with one guy, but it's like. This would be my only question for Cody. It's like, well, if the SEC or the Big Ten invited you tomorrow, would you still have the stance? My guess is probably not. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's take a look at what we got coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that and more right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
All right, Tim, rather than take a look at, honestly, some pretty gross games, we got the updated polls today. Ohio State moves up to number one in both polls. They were number two in the coaches' poll. They're now number one in the AP poll, so we'll stick mainly with the AP poll. They get 56 first-place votes. Penn State at number two got 7 first-place votes. LSU moves up from number nine to number three. They got 3 first-place votes. Oregon got 1 first-place vote. They are at 6. So the top 10 is as follows. Ohio State 1, Penn State 2, LSU 3, Georgia up to 4, Miami moves from 10 to 5, Oregon moves from 7 to 6, Texas drops to 7, Clemson drops to 8, Notre Dame to 9, South Carolina moves up to 10. So the big droppers were Alabama down to 21, Florida State enters the poll at 14. I did think it would be hilarious if the way that the voting worked, that Florida State was going to somehow win by 14 at home and they would still be ranked ahead. But they did not do that. It got close in the coaches' poll, though.
And the SID poll is very close.
It was very close. Florida State at 19, Alabama at 20. So at least they did honor that. So the biggest risers, obviously, Florida State from unranked to 14. And the biggest faller was Alabama from 8 down to 21. Did anything else catch your eye? Utah also comes in ranked in the AP poll. They are still unranked in the coaches poll.
I think Florida State should be top 10. I think they had one of the best performances of the weekend. And if you are supposed to throw out preseason biases
is how I would say it, but
either Alabama shouldn't be ranked or Florida State should be top 10.
Well, I just look at this. Like, we saw two SEC versus ACC games. Carolina's sitting at 10. Who looked better, Florida State against Alabama or South Carolina against Virginia Tech?
Florida State. And once again, if you're removing, because I saw the world's biggest troll, well, not biggest, Danny Cannell pointing out, because he likes to play up the old SEC, ACC stuff, but he did point out that when you go vote for the AP poll, you're supposed to throw out the preseason. LSU should be at minimum two.
In terms of resume,
and look, Penn State can be number three. That's fine. But when you beat Nevada at home and LSU goes on the road against the eighth best team in the country right now, LSU should be two. Am I splitting hairs? Sure. But I think LSU, the three, I don't know, the four most impressive results of the weekend in some order: Ohio State beats Texas, LSU beats Clemson, Miami beats Notre Dame, Florida State beats Alabama, right?
Yes.
So, in some order.
Yeah. Those, yes, I agree with you.
So I'm fine with Ohio State being one. I wouldn't be mad if LSU went to one, but I'm fine with Ohio State being one. They beat the preseason number one team, once again, if you're throwing preseason out, but they beat them. Okay, they're fine. They're one elite defensive performance. LSU, I think, should be two. And then Penn State, I'm not going to penalize them, but LSU's performance was more impressive. So I would bump them up. And I mean, shoot, I can make an argument that Miami should be top five.
Well, they are.
I mean, they are top. They're fifth. I could make an argument that they should be ahead of Georgia if you want to split hairs. They beat a top 10 team.
Yeah, I guess the way that I look at it is I think Ohio State, and I get it, this shouldn't matter, it's this season. The fact that they beat the number one team at home, I feel more confident that Texas is going to be a part of the story more so than I do Clemson. So I'm willing to give them more credit.
I think it's fair.
But I don't know. Like my bigger deal is like
Florida State should be top 10. Like if you still deem Alabama a top 20 team, they dominated that game. Post game win expectancy for Florida State was 97.3%.
Yes.
They dominated them. And if they're still a top 25 team in the eyes of the pollsters, then they should be top 10 for that performance. Because to your point, Illinois, who did they play?
They played Western Illinois.
Congratulations. Arizona State, who'd they play? Northern Arizona.
I think it was a directional.
Florida played another FC. I think they played an FCS school, right?
Long Island, which I did not know was FCS until last week.
Florida State played Alabama and hammered them. Put them in the top 10. Who cares that you didn't vote them preseason top 25? You were wrong. I was wrong. Who cares? They went out as a two-touchdown underdog and won by two touchdowns. They should be a top 10 team. Honestly, they could be ahead of Notre Dame. They could be ahead of Clemson. I wouldn't be opposed to that. We have one data point right now, and the Florida State Seminoles beat a top 25 team by two touchdowns. That's pretty damn impressive.
No, I'm with you entirely, but
the coaches have him at 19. Like just send the damn coaches poll to the moon. They don't watch the games. I don't expect them to watch the games.
Alabama. Okay, so no, they got him by at least. There's 100 points ahead. I was like, at first, I was like, oh my god, Alabama was closer to being ahead of Florida State than they were over Indiana.
I think Utah should be higher than 25.
Utah's not even ranked in the coaches' poll.
Right. Like, Utah went to a Power 4 team. Granted, they took over the Rose Bowl, but still, they went on the road, and they won by 30 against a Power 4 team. Indiana beat Old Dominion by 10. By the way, Indiana might win by a million this week. Did you see Cignetti postgame? He said, quote, a pedestrian win at best. Sorry, Kennesaw State. The bully, Cignetti's coming for you next week.
I'm in this weird spot where I kind of like Mendoza, but that was early enough, like on Saturday, I was checking in. And it's where you realize, like, Mendoza's just not as good as Curtis Rourke was. Especially throwing the ball down the field.
They're going to be an interesting case study this year because I don't think they're going to drop off. But, yeah, I don't foresee that being a...
Well, hey, Kennesaw gave Wake all they wanted.
I don't know. Might be a little bit worried about the old Wake Forest Demon Deeks.
I think Dickert's old program and his new program are in a world of hurt.
Also, as I have the polls up, I mean, whoever votes on the FCS poll, Tarleton State just beat Army, who went like 12-2 last year. Put them at one, please. Come on, what are we doing here?
Somebody made the joke, Tarleton State's performance against Army was like their CUSA. Oh, it was a chip from the Cover 3. Chip that person. I feel like their real world audition tape for the Conference USA.
It's good. It's a good take.
Hey y'all, I'm fun.
I've got a great personality. Like, you know.
I thought that was a good line. Montana State did fall in the FCS poll, so there you go. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got kind of dueling through the media to tell your story. So Dabo today was asked about the game from Saturday, and he said, it's like getting a final exam, day one of class. They made a 65, we made a 58. Neither of us were that great. So, of course, Brian Kelly gets asked what he thinks about these comments. Well, I mean, I thought we dominated them in the second half. So he's either a really good grader for, you know, giving himself a 58, or he's a really hard grader on us. He didn't see the second half, which that might be the case. He might not have wanted to see the second half. I mean, you tell me. 177 yards to 151 yards. That's 5 yards per play for Clemson, 4.7 for LSU. They both threw for LSU throws for 134 yards, 139 yards for Clemson. Clemson did have the interception. Penalties were roughly the same. First downs, LSU did hold the ball longer. Both teams punted twice. I just don't know if I would say dominated. I did feel like they were the better team.
Yeah, BK's feeling himself, baby. He's got that first season opening win.
There you go. He is feeling himself. All right, my man. We'll holler.
See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up from next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.